I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Mr. Davis. And I am assisted on this episode. This Royal Rumble Go Home episode. It's the start of the most magical time of the year for a wrestling fan. Lukewarm Luke Owen.
Hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Mr. Davis. How the devil are you? I'm not changing it up. I'm getting it right.
How the devil am I? Well, Blue Monday was last Monday. That is typically the time of the year when everyone gives up on their New Year's optimism. Apparently it's not a thing in the States.
Yes, I heard this. Where did I hear this from? That like this is actually just a UK-only thing?
Probably our Twitter feed when we wished everyone a happy Blue Monday and 90% of the comments were United States people going, what? Blue Monday?
Are we celebrating the band Blue Monday? Because they were good.
The song Blue Monday.
Yes, what am I thinking? I'm thinking of New Order. Wrote the song Blue Monday. Damn it!
I saw them once at Glastonbury, cancelled again this year, and everyone left.
But they've got a banging back catalog. They've got a great back cat. Well, yeah, a member of them was. They had a banging back catalog. In fact, I was recording my own podcast the other day, last night, in fact, and John Barnes was the celebrity guest that was on an episode of Games Master, and every time I see John Barnes, all I can think of is, you've got to hold it on and do it at the right time. You can be slow or fast, you must get to the line. Like, it's World in Motion. And I mean, maybe this is a controversial topic. It may be a better song than Three Lions.
It's the hipster's choice of contrary opinion. And one I would expect for someone who maintains that The Dark Knight is an average movie.
I didn't say it's an average movie. I said it's a good movie. It's a three-star film. I'm not going to apologize for that opinion, but it is a three-star film.
Anyway, we do the Blue Monday, and all last week, I'm saying, cockily, I have sailed through Blue Monday. I'm full of life. I'm super productive. I'm still exercising. I haven't missed a good habit this year. I've done skincare every day, which I've been tracking on a little app called Habit that shows I have an unbroken streak of skincare.
You're very good for that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But I think you need the app. It's almost like not a game, but it certainly means you almost need to be rewarded. You need the app to tell you, good job, you did it.
Yeah, that's exactly what... No, it's totally a game. Anyway, I thought I was doing well, but then the weekend hit and I just got so tired, and this led to me watching the entirety of Bling Empire in a sub 24-hour period.
What's Bling Empire?
Bling Empire just came out on Netflix about a week ago, and it is about, you know, Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, great film. Great film.
It's that via the Kardashians.
Is it a reality show?
It's a structured reality TV show about some incredibly wealthy Asian people living in Los Angeles. And yeah, I watched 9 hours of it.
Oof. I mean, I've just started watching New Girl for the first time. And last night I finished recording my podcast. I went downstairs and saw my wife and she was like, should we start a new show on Apple TV? And I was like, because we now finished, well, we finished the morning show
Apple
now.
So TV.
Yeah. Well, we finished the morning show. So we're looking for like our next thing to fall into while we've still got a free subscription to Apple. And I was like,
it's going
to
renew. There's nothing you can do about it.
By accident, I'll forget. It's like June 29th or something, but I'll forget. And it took us like 6 months to watch the morning show. But I said, nah, do you know what? I just fancy watching New Girl. Just we'll watch like 3 episodes of New Girl, then we'll go to bed.
Oh.
And we did. Oh, we get to bed about sort of like 10, half 10-ish. Like if we're really pushing it, half 10. Get upstairs. Do our teeth. I mean, I'm in a routine at the moment, so like I'm not bragging here, but I'm doing this push-up thing where I'm doing push-ups every day, but I'm adding one to the amount of push-ups that I'm doing. So on the 1st of January, I did one. Today, I'll be doing 26, but I'm also doing 26 crunches and I'm doing 26 squats. And so I do those while my wife goes up and does her teeth. Then I go upstairs, put a little podcast on. We snuggle a little bit, chat, and then we do some spooning and go right to sleep so I can get up at 5:30 and edit some podcasts.
Oh, yeah, the dream. you're going to do 26 consecutive.
I break them up. I do sort of like 10, 10, and 6 is like that. That's the way I'm currently doing it at the moment. When I was doing this the first time back in October, I was just doing it as one straight thing of just doing like 26 in a row. But I got to about 25 before I gave up on it. So I'm actually doing way better than I did back in October.
When's it going to level off? When are you like, that is the amount of reps for me?
My aim is to get to 100.
That's a long workout.
Yeah, I was talking to Pete about this just before Christmas. And I was like, my worry is I'll get bored. Like, I'll get to sort of like 45 and think like, it's another 55 of these to go yet.
Unless you do the audiobook method. You did this before, right? Where you were only allowed to listen to an audiobook, which you were interested in. When you were exercising,
which I could do, but the problem is my exercise rate. I mean, it took me like 8 minutes to do like my, you know, to do 25 yesterday. So can you really get sucked into like 8 minutes of an audio book? I'm just doing podcasts at the moment.
When you're doing hundreds, I think you.
Oh yeah. Yeah, when I get to 100, I mean, it's going to take me friggin' hours. Right, anyway, we've got to get into the main show itself because there's an email I really want to read before we get out of this show. We're going to talk about Raw. Shouldn't take long. Here's the show.
Are we getting Alexa Bliss versus Edge? I'm Mr. Davis. This is Lukewarm Luke Owen. Welcome to the Go Home Royal Rumble edition of Monday Night Raw. You wouldn't know it from watching it.
Nope.
Where was the big brawl where everyone gets thrown over the top rope?
Dude, they did the one spot where R-Truth threw AJ Styles out of the ring. Well, if that was in a Royal Rumble match, AJ Styles would be eliminated right now. So they did that spot. You don't need to, you don't need to hammer it home. They don't need to fill an entire show with that.
The Hurt Business are infighting already. Why does that not factor in to the possibility of them all coming up against each other in the Rumble?
Because they're not winning the Rumble. And like, are any of them in the Rumble?
I don't know.
I think Lashley's in it.
Daniel Bryan's in the Rumble.
I think, I'm pretty sure Lashley is in the Rumble. I think they said that on this show.
Well, it doesn't matter. You know, my favorite, everyone's favorite match of the year, the Royal Rumble. We had a, I guess there was one big part, Edge, has announced that he is going to be a competitor in it. I guess you could have almost had the third surprise Edge return. You know, obviously there's 2010, which we just reviewed on Wrestle Talk Extra for Patreons exclusively. Go over and listen to that. We had last year. I think it would have been quite nice to save this Edge announcement for the actual reveal of him coming out.
So Sean teased this. Apparently he's got a report coming up on Fightful Select this week, which is as the real reason as to why WWE are announcing, because they're also announcing number one, number two, and number 30 on backstage, I think. So like they're doing a lot of like kind of removing the surprise element of the Rumble, I guess. Because I was genuinely very surprised when they were just like, oh, Edge just goes, oh, I'm in the Rumble this year. That's my return to the ring, is at the Rumble. Because I would have saved that to be a big surprise.
Also, surprise sponsorship. This stream is sponsored by Beer 52. Go over to beer52.com/wrestletalk for a free case of 8 craft beers.
UK yes, viewers. It is. Look at this. Old Mate Pale Ale. I am excited to dive into this little orange beauty.
We will be sampling that later in the stream. So back to Edge. I think it would have been nicer to have the surprise, but I get why they did it. There wasn't much else to build the Rumble. I think this is the biggest promo angle for the whole pay-per-view so far, right? For the actual Rumble match, that is.
That's it, yeah, because I was saying this to Denise on Friday's show, that for my money, I can't see anyone from Raw winning either of the two Rumbles at the moment. It feels like SmackDown is building potential winners for the Rumble, whether that is Cesaro, Bryan, or Nakamura, as sort of like, here are some guys that are actually getting some, they're getting a bit of a role going. Like, they're actually doing quite well. AJ, I feel like, is the only guy on Raw that feels like he's got some momentum going into the Rumble because he's won his last three matches and they were at least against different people, which is not the same. The same could not be said for a lot of people on Raw. But like from the women's side of things, I feel like Charlotte has said she's in the Rumble, so that kind of gives her momentum. But it's certainly not going to be Lacey Evans. It's not going to be Peyton Royce. It's not going to be Dana Brooke or Mandy Rose or Nia Jax or Shayna Baszler. There's like all these women who just feel like they've got nothing going on. So I feel like the SmackDown side of things are actually building the Rumble matches, whereas Raw is like, hey, get excited about Goldberg versus Drew. That's what you're tuning into this show to be excited about, that and what might happen with Randy Orton.
Yeah, so that brings us on to the next part of this wacky thumbnail and title that we've concocted, because there's a few moving parts. You've got Edge announcing himself to return to the Rumble in his promo, which was very good, by the way. It was that sort of one he's done before where he's crouched in the corner of the ring, speaks very candidly and sincerely to the camera. He recapped his feud with Orton and the greatest match backlash ever that they had together, which put him on the shelf. So you've got to be like, well, okay, Edge and Orton. Orton's in the Rumble. That's going to be a confrontation in the actual Rumble match. But then you look what happened with Randy on this show and you think, okay, well, maybe there's something else at play here. So what happened with Orton was in the main event, we had Bliss versus Asuka for the Raw Women's title. So Bliss beat Asuka in a non-title match last week. She gets the title match here. I hate that booking, but that's what we've got. It was a supernatural stupidness. If you liked the supernatural stuff, great for you. It's certainly working for the YouTube clips, although I don't think that's indicative of any sense of quality, what people click on. Look at us. People click on us. You've clicked on us. We're no good.
Oh, we're rubbish.
So Bliss ends up almost having the match won. We'll talk about the other bits later, but for the purpose of this conversation, Bliss nearly has the match won. She's turned into Lady Fiend. She's got the mandible claw on Asuka. Looks like she's going to win. And who should appear behind her but burnt Randy Orton, where he's got a sort of bit of tomato ketchup on his face?
Yeah, so as a correction from last week's episode, as a lot of people pointed this out to me. So I said first degree burns were quite bad. As it was pointed out by many people, it's not. Apparently, it's just like a bad case of sunburn. And as someone who gets sunburned by standing near a light bulb, I can appreciate what Randy Orton is actually going through. Like if I go on holiday, my holiday is I will have one day by the pool I get my one day because then I just burn. So the rest of the time I'm by the pool, but I'm scared of the sun. And I'm essentially just moving round the parasol around me in a 360 degree motion to block the sun from getting to me.
Scuttling like a beetle.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I now know, I can now actually sympathize with Randy Orton. I didn't have a fireball thrown in my face, but I've been sunburnt before.
So Orton's standing behind Bliss from out of nowhere, looking like he's just gone to town on a pizza. And he hits an RKO on Bliss, you know, because Randy is kind of a sort of leader in the violence against women kayfabe thing on WWE. Yeah. Hit an RKO on Nia Jax all those years ago.
He gets one a year, and this is how he's choosing to use them. He hit one on Beth Phoenix in the lead up to the Edge match. So he's you know, he's got one per year, and he decided to use it, cash it in early.
And but some people are calling it the best RKO ever from a technical standpoint. Well, from a technical standpoint, because Bliss is so short to be able to go down.
I still think, even from a technical standpoint, the Matt Sydal one.
Yes.
Like, he did that from a list.
Of course that's the best.
Of course it's that.
Or also the Seth Rollins one with the stomp into...
Yeah.
I'm being facetious. But Randy Orton attacked Bliss. Of course, this is going to play into some sort of Fiend involvement with Randy. So now we've got Randy feuding with Bliss and the Fiend and with a returning Edge. And I feel like this is all going to coalesce. This is a long preamble to say it's all going to coalesce at the Rumble match, the men's Rumble match, this Sunday, because let me cast your minds back to November and the very reliable WrestleVotes. WrestleMania update. Sources say that while Edge versus Randy Orton has been the long-standing plan and still is at the moment, the idea of Edge versus The Fiend has been discussed a great deal for the show. Then another follow-up tweet. Further, the source states the initial idea came up as names were thrown around as possible opponents for a Wyatt and Bliss team at Mania. And Edge and Beth Phoenix were mentioned. Source states both matches are unlikely. Orton versus Edge remains the plan as of now. But that's always been in the back of my head as like, oh, I can totally see WWE booking Fiend and Bliss versus Edge and Phoenix. And now those stars maybe won't happen, but they seem to be aligning.
And I mean, I wasn't on the show when Goldberg came back, but Goldberg's whole promo about how, like, you're disrespecting legends to Drew, even though it felt like it was a promo for Randy Orton, did make me think, well, maybe the plan for Mania is they're going to do Randy Goldberg. Like, that is, you know, because Goldberg's got a couple of, I think he's got two matches this year. So you do Randy Goldberg at Mania, and yeah, which would have been free up to do Edge and Phoenix versus Fiend and Bliss.
Yeah, I mean, that's... What do you think about that match?
Randy Goldberg?
No, the tag, intergender tag match.
I did not like this main event, and I am a bit over Alexa Bliss's magic because there's only so long that we can do it. We're getting fans back in for Mania, and you're not going to be able to do it like in a couple of months' time. So, like, in a storyline world, why does she stop doing it? And like, I thought the rocking horse thing was proper preposterous. And the changing of outfit mid-match, it's just there to remind me that none of this is real. And it kind of made me roll my eyes. But also, it doesn't help the fact that I don't feel like the storyline is ever going, like, it's not like advancing. And I also hated the fact that as soon as the match was announced, I was like, well, that's not ending in a clean finish. Like, that's got DQ written all over it. So, yeah, I'm not massively into the Bliss thing at the moment. Nothing against her. I think it's more against the company. So I'm not entirely enthused by that either. I think I'm more into Edge versus Fiend straight up than I am an intergender tag match.
Oh, you know, they can't just give you a straight up singles match like that. You know, that as soon as Bliss joined the Fiend act, McMahon has surely just been like, well, they've got to have a tag match against a similar male-female combo.
Cena, Nikki Bella, surely. Yes. Cast your mind back.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
Well, let's see what you guys think. JobberJJ496 says, "Hello, lads. Sorry I don't have $1 million for you, but what I do have is an idea. Make up Teenage Crazy Bliss and Killer Clown Fiend wins Royal Rumble. So the Fiend wins the men's and Bliss wins the women's and win all the gold. Blimey. Ah, right. So later on, Peacock can do a Firefly special. What's with Randy RKOing women at this time of year?" It's just a thing he does. It's his usual spot. So I guess this is the news of WWE Network going to NBC's platform. And then, yeah, we could get little Firefly specials.
You were the first person I thought of when that news broke. Because I was like, this is the one year where Ollie Davis did not predict that WWE would sell the network on our prediction show. Like, you've been predicting that for the last 5 years.
I know,
and this was the year that they actually did it. And you did not say it.
And it was so soon. I'm taking that as a win, though. Pretending I did. Everybody, by the way, wrestletalk.com/support. Get your hyper chats in. We'll read out every single one of them before the end of the show. The Jam 1 Ryan B. Jam. Drew wants the match. WWE want the market. Therefore, Jinder to win the Rumble? Hashtag darkest timeline.
We are actually competing against WWE at the moment because they've got their superstar spectacular or spectacle on at the moment. Although, thankfully, we're up against an ad break. So I'd imagine a lot of people are switching over from the ad break to us to see what we've got to say.
The Tuesday afternoon wars. It'll go
it's
down.
About time.
I think Jinder will feature in the Rumble match, surely. And then maybe he'll do something to set up. I think we'll get Jinder versus Drew eventually. I just don't know when that will be. Charles
probably
Berg.
Fastlane. Fastlane's not the right time to do it. Yeah.
Charles Berg, of all the episodes of Monday Night Raw I've watched, this was one of them. I'd say yet another inconsequential episode that furthers nothing. Ollie, Mr. Davis, thank you. I'd say beware of Fakador, but he proved that while he's unaffected by the continuity, he's really dumb. Yeah, Fakador's dumb. Tyler Woodward, fine for now. Send the talent black hole Mrs. Botchy McBotchface back to the performance center so she can learn to work and bump. I pop every time she takes a bump because that is more rare than a good Ms. TV segment.
So this is obviously in reference to the Nia Jax spot, which legit made me go, this morning when Dana Brooke took that bump. Because, I mean, that whole segment was an absolute disaster from pretty much from start to end.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to dive into that. But before we do, of course, get all your hyper chats into wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them before the end of the show. Also, let's dive into this. Old Mate beer.
Wait for the Foley. Oh, satisfying. The mist actually got me in the face.
So this is from beer52.com/wrestletalk. Go over there, UK viewers only, and you'll get a free case of 8 craft beers. We'll be enjoying these on our Rumble stream too. I've got
Good day, mate. It's from Australia. It's 5%, by the way, just for the
I got quite drunk last week in the afternoon after finishing it off after our AEW stream. Let's have a go. Well, what's your tasting notes?
I mean, I love this. This is I'm a big fan of a pale ale, and this is a really, really delightful one. It's very light. Mm. Like, it doesn't feel like particularly frothy. It's like that, and that hiss that you got at the start there. Mm.
Oh, doesn't taste alcoholic either. Just like a lovely a lemony froth. Feels like I'm drinking a lemon meringue.
Yeah.
Well, let's get on. Is it? Lemon meringue?
Lemon meringue pie is my favorite dessert, yeah. I once made one, and it was absolutely brilliant. It's that or a sticky toffee pudding?
Tiramisu.
Oh, it's quite a popular one, isn't it? But I don't really like tiramisu. I don't like coffee-based desserts.
You heard it here first. Save me a little chat with Denise. I know you. Right, so let's do this full episode of Raw because we have to. So I didn't like this episode. I thought this was a terrible episode. And Raw's been pretty bad recently. But I don't know. They usually pull something out of their assholes for the go-homes of Royal Rumble. Not for the go-home mania, as you would expect. That never happens. But I thought for this one they would. But even without that expectation for a big go-home episode, they delivered nothing and actively frustrated me.
So as sort of like an overall thought of Raw, I'm impressed by WWE. I really am. And I was thinking about this the whole show. I'm actually impressed by WWE. And I think they deserve enormous credit for having the largest talent pool in the entire world and somehow book the most repetitive show in the world. It's Groundhog Day, man. Like, I've got some stats of like the amount of times we've seen the same people having matches like week in and week out. And I just find it's impressive to book a show that's this repetitive when you have so much to your to hand.
Yeah. Let's dive into it. It started off with Drew McIntyre making his triumphant return. Showing.
Yeah, it does. It goes a little swing at the start.
I never realized it before, but I was typing in my notes that he came out and he's got the kilt. He's got the sword. He really should save this stuff for pay-per-views. And I just wrote down the swing sound. And I was like, this is what I'm going to do for every Drew entrance. Showing.
It's a reference from 1991. I'm sure that'll hold up 20 years later. 30 years later, in fact.
Way more in date than any of WWE's pop culture references.
Hey, they made a reference to Kong versus Godzilla. They got the name wrong, but they made a reference to it. So, and that trailer only came out on Sunday, man. So, that's within 24 hours.
I haven't seen it yet.
Have you not? Dude, oh, it's great, man. It's really, really good.
For this.
Mechagodzilla's like right at the start. It's wicked. Mm-hmm.
I thought Drew came across excellently here. He was sincere. He talked about his COVID diagnosis and how we can all get through it together. Like this is a babyface champion. Like responsible. I look up to the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really nice. Well, like he came out and he talked, you know, very openly about, suffering from COVID. And we said this like at the time when, you know, he was diagnosed and he was self-isolating, that it felt like it was a Drew call. And this again feels like it's a Drew call that he was like, I want to go out there and I want to talk about this. I don't want to just shy away and hide from it. I want to go out there and be like, this is what has happened to me. And I can use my position of not power, not authority, but you know, like you said, like you look up to him and like there are people that do look up to him. So I can use that position to be like, look, stay safe, wear your masks and things like that. So yeah, it just makes me love him even more.
Yeah. And especially that no one else says the words COVID apart from Drew. Yeah. Lends credence to that theory that it is all McIntyre. But the segment got quite annoying, unfortunately. When Miz and Morrison came out, they did their usual shtick. He's going to win the title with his Money in the Bank cash in. Goldberg came out. I thought we were getting another joke appearance then, like from Goldberg. But Goldberg comes down. He simply says, "You, me, Sunday, you're next." And then rather than beat up each other, they chuck Miz and Morrison into the ring. Morrison gets a spear from Goldberg and Miz gets a spear and Morrison got a claymore from Drew. And that's it. That's your big go home angle. So this was the episode where they really needed to do something to make it. You can't, like, they did the right thing by taking Drew off TV, obviously, because he got the COVID diagnosis. And that sucks. But you've got an episode here to give some intrigue. It almost felt like an afterthought, just put in at the start of the show, which is traditionally when most people are watching. But this didn't feel that big time.
No, this felt like it was week two of a storyline as opposed to the last week before you have the match. And I know some people really do think that Goldberg's winning, but I think Drew is 100% retaining this coming Sunday because it doesn't feel like Goldberg has any momentum to win. I mean, neither did he when he beat Kevin Owens or The Fiend, but I suppose that happened, I guess.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see. I'm optimistic too.
I'm optimistic as well because of the way the commentary were putting over the match. Like when Goldberg was making his entrance, they were saying like every time Goldberg returns, he wins the title. Drew might be the first person to stop that. And I'm like, that makes me think that the commentary is putting over that idea that Drew is going to be the person to kind of stop. He's going to end this new streak, which again, could have been a really fun storyline still over 4 weeks, but they've told it in one segment.
We've got our prediction stream tomorrow, same time tomorrow. So subscribe and enable notifications to always on to know when that goes live first. After the initially good Drew McIntyre bit, and then it was a bit rubbish when Goldberg came out, we got one of the worst segments in sort of recent memory, both from a booking perspective, in that Charlotte's overexposed, the match is repetitive because, of course, we got Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax, Mandy Rose, Dana Brooke. It doesn't make sense because Asuka never came out to help Charlotte, and even though they're tag team champion partners. So, like, just from a logic booking perspective, it was rubbish. And then on top of that, there were two botches that totally derailed the narrative.
It's so incredibly repetitive. All of this, man. And like Sean and Denise brought this up on the Fightful review, which is something that I never really thought of, but they're absolutely right. They said, he's absolutely right. Why don't they just book the six man? Like, why bother having the match between Charlotte Flair and Shayna Baszler if the very first thing you're going to do is have Nia Jax walk in and do a DQ? Like, what did that accomplish? That is actually just a complete waste of time. You may as well have just had the six man or the six woman from the start and just play the match out for longer.
I think it's, and I don't agree with this, I much prefer AEW's way of booking where they just give you the six man straight up. I think that's a good way to protect people and keep those singles matches special. WWE, I think, is like, well, we can promote Charlotte versus Shayna 3 hours beforehand on Twitter. That's a big time singles match. Maybe that will get people to tune in.
But you're then with just no smacking those people over.
Exactly. With no intention of delivering it, because this company doesn't care about delivering on its promises. So just to recap everything that happened in this segment, in case people haven't seen it, it was originally meant to be Charlotte versus Shayna. That match went under a minute because Nia Jax interfered when Shayna looked like she was going to tap out to the figure four. Shayna and Nia started beating up Charlotte. Asuka didn't run out, her tag team champion partner, but Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke did, who had been feuding with Jax and Shayna. While this was all scuffling, Lacey Evans also jumped in to attack Charlotte because they're feuding, hey presto, six-man tag. The actual six-man tag was sort of botched almost immediately, where Shayna and Charlotte fell out of the ring, weirdly as well. Like, it looked like Shayna just bumped her head on the apron and walked around dazed for a bit. The referee counts them out, which wasn't meant to happen. Everyone looks confused. Ad break. Come back from ad break. Adam Pearce has restarted the match. Nobody knows what they're doing still. Like, Shayna's just on the apron like, what? Jax is totally lost. And then they rush to the finish where Jax hits this powerbomb chokeslam thing on Dana Brooke. It looked bad.
Yeah, dropped her right on her head. Absolutely just right on her head. Absolutely sucked for Dana Brooke. Apparently she was 100% okay. It was just a nasty-looking spill. But it was a heck of a nasty-looking spill. And, you know, we are a month, 2 months removed from her taking out, injuring Mandy Rose. That was only a couple of months removed from her taking out Kairi Sane, which was only a couple of months removed from her knocking out Kairi Sane. It's just a lot of, man. There's only so many times you could talk about it, really. You know, I go back to the quote that Brian Alvarez had. Someone, you know, one of his sources within WWE was just like, she does need to go.
If you go back to that first Kairi Sane injury, I think I was here being like, hey, guys, go easy on Jax. You know, this, I didn't think it looked bad. And then, you know, more stuff came out. And I think I've always been in the more defending camp of Jax, because I think a lot of the, she's like, if she does something wrong, and if any woman does something wrong, it seems it's called up. They're called out on it more. But for
remember Brie Bella? Brie Bella did something, like Brie Bella like made one mistake and everyone like hounded her on social media, where like she was a wrestler that made a mistake. I think if you are a woman in wrestling and you do make an error, then you are more susceptible to like mass criticism for making those mistakes.
Sasha Banks to this day, like if she does something slightly wrong, everyone jumps on her. I'm like, but my problem with, I don't know what's happened, but something's just changed in my head where I'm like, maybe it's that Keith Lee and Otis were sent down to the performance center to work on how they wrestle, and Jax still wrestles with sort of, well, maybe she is getting extra lessons. If so, that's even more worrying, because she's not improved. And it's like, I said last week on the AEW stream, on a show that was full of botches, that I don't really look at botches. I'm more into the stories and characters. What I meant by that, because it probably sounds inconsistent, is that I don't mind when people get stuff wrong. When people do botches that could hurt someone, that's totally different. In fact, most safe moves take me out of the match because I'm like, oh, is someone hurt? You know, that's what takes me out of a match more than anything. So yeah, I've sort of lost patience with Jax now. I can't really enjoy her work in any way. I thought she was doing some fun heel stuff beforehand, but not anymore.
And I feel like she is just going through the motions these days. Like this last, I don't know, since she came back, I suppose, it just feels like she's got no passion for it. Like this team with, like, I think she's doing some funny stuff backstage, you know, and the stuff with her and Baszler when they do backstage promos is quite funny. But as an actual, like, in-ring worker, it just feels like she's got no passion in it whatsoever, which is just dragging Baszler down. And it's like, it's making Baszler look worse. And when you've got someone as talented as Shayna Baszler, that just totally sucks for her. I mean, like, and it sucks for us fans as well, who want to be able to see the proper Shayna Baszler, which I would argue we've yet to really have on the main roster. I know there was that Elimination Chamber sort of domination, but like no one liked that Elimination Chamber domination because they booked it so weird.
She bit Becky Lynch's neck. What are you talking about?
And it was rubbish. It was
so. After that, we got another repetitive match. Xavier Woods took on a member of Retribution. Granted, he hasn't faced Slapjack yet, but he might as well have. And Slapjack actually lost this time. Retribution have two up on Xavier Woods, but their interference backfired.
Well, he's the small guy, so you can beat him. Can't beat the big ones, but you can beat the small ones. They're the easier ones to beat. So, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it doesn't make sense for the story, really, because surely the storyline should be that Retribution keep beating Xavier Woods while he's on his own, but then his tag partner returns. And now, because, I mean, Woods has beaten Retribution now, right? Like, he's already beaten one of them. So, the storyline now isn't quite as good as it once was.
Yes. But you've got to protect people and also do nothing to build them up. It was just filler, really. But what was good afterwards was Ali got into the ring, sort of directed a beatdown of Xavier. But then Ali holds up a chair and he's going to hit Woods in the sort of execution mode. But then he just puts it down instead and sits on it and says, like, look, I've shown you mercy here. So you can go to Kofi and say, I will be replacing him in the Rumble match. I thought that was very effective. And that really is a story that they're telling very well. And it's got real substance to it. And I'm now looking forward to Kingston's return.
Yeah, exactly. And that, which is why it kind of the Slapjack loss kind of frustrates me the more, because the storyline has actually been pretty decent. I said it last week, it's the first Retribution storyline that's made sense. And I'm all for that. And like Retribution targeting Woods because of what Kofi did just makes that like you want to see Kofi return and so they can get their revenge. So Woods beating Slapjack kind of like is counterintuitive to that in my mind. Like it's, and like Xavier Woods kind of loses nothing by being beaten by Slapjack, but he also gains nothing by beating Slapjack. So yeah, so unfortunately that kind of took me out of it. But I do think it is a pretty good storyline, really.
After that, we got Riddle and R-Truth in one of his four appearances on this episode with there was comedy, I guess, some version of comedy. And then we got the Hurt Business's VIP lounge where they presented a gift to MVP for all the great work he's done for them. And it's a sort of gold chain that has THB, the Hurt Business initials, on it. And R-Truth comes out and he's like, oh, you got me a birthday present, because that stands for truth. Happy birthday. Which I'm annoyed I laughed at.
I did laugh at it.
I don't like any of this, really, because Cedric and Shelton are still in fighting. I want the Hurt Business to be a good faction. And then all the 24/7 guys run in, so that's nonsense. And then Riddle, who's supposed to be the babyface in all this, sneaks in, hits a knee on MVP and runs away.
Like, they just won the tag belts. Just let them be a tag team for a bit. And then, like, you can start doing all, like, the infighting and stuff. But I'm with you. I want to see the Hurt Business on the same page. They're such a good unit. Like, when they came out, goddamn, did they look good. Even though Shelton was wearing his mask and then realized he was wearing his mask, took it off, and then mouthed OS. When he realized that he hadn't done it. But they just look so good together. The way they hold their belts. Like, they're the only group in WWE that can make standing in a row look good. No one else in WWE can do it because it looks so contrived, but they make it look awesome.
Draped in championship gold as well. Oh, it's a great look. Then we got more truth backstage. He is booked against AJ Styles in a sort of Royal Rumble qualifier by Adam Pearce. SmackDown main eventer, Adam Pearce. Whatever, I guess that's how they're filling AJ's time. Wouldn't it be good to give him an actual story?
His story is that he's getting momentum to go into the Rumble. He's got three wins like behind him at the moment, you know. So he's kind of like showing that, and they're putting over on commentary. He's the only one on commentary that's got a win-loss record. You know, he's like 12-1 since he came to Raw or something like that. So I think that's his story.
It means so much to beat nobodies. People who aren't good enough to get in the match you're going to be in.
I am trying to find something. So if I can find something that I can praise, then that I'm going to latch on to that.
Well, let's latch on to this next segment, because this was my favorite thing on the show. I think Sheamus is doing some of the best in-ring work of his career. I've always been a fan of Sheamus's in-ring stuff. Like, I just love how he's got about 8 finishes. And he had I thought a bloody good match with John Morrison here.
He did have a bloody great match with John Morrison here. My quibble I've got with this is that, and I did go and look at this, 5 out of the last 8 weeks have featured a match between Sheamus and John Morrison. And
this
so, like,
it'd be all different.
But I'm sick of seeing it, man. Like, this is what I mean by having this most stacked roster and booking the same bloody matches every single week. I've seen these two. I've seen Sheamus beat Morrison. I've seen Morrison beat Sheamus. I've seen Sheamus beat Miz. I've seen Miz. I've seen it, man. Even though they're having really good matches, but they had a really good match the first time they did it.
But have you seen it, Luke? Back to back. Because what we got here was Sheamus beat John Morrison, and then Miz said, hey, now I want to go too. And Sheamus, being a hothead, agreed and just lost to Miz's skull-crushing finale.
I've written here, has there been another outbreak of COVID that we just don't know about? Are they so understaffed at the moment that everyone is pulling double and triple duty?
That's what I thought. I mean, you don't want to speculate too much, but most people, if there's a COVID outbreak, you'd assume some of the people would have longer lasting effects, not just like a self-isolating thing. So yeah, it felt like a roster light show, in that a lot of people were doing like 2 matches or 3 matches. Truth was in every other segment.
Yeah, that's what I mean, man. It felt like this was like, you know, half day.
After that, we get Ric Flair backstage. Charlotte also got a bunch of segments on this show. He's doing that raunchy, here's how you do a back grapple to Lacey Evans. And Charlotte comes in. She's sad that Ric Flair is doing this. She says she's not the bad guy. And then Lacey jumps her from behind and escorts Ric out.
Cool. I've got nothing to add on this. Apart from, I don't think Charlotte's a good actor. But yeah, it was a segment.
Yeah, you know, she's the tag team champion with Asuka.
I do forget that a lot. Yeah, like, where is she in Asuka's quote unquote storyline, and where's Asuka in Charlotte's storyline?
Then we got the AJ versus R-Truth match.
Do you know they're defending the belts on Sunday?
Mm.
I actually forgot. Until I was like looking at the Rumble card and I was like, oh yeah, that is happening, isn't it?
Then we got AJ beating R-Truth in a few minutes, made him tap in the calf crusher. They had that spot where they sort of, it was quite good. AJ was like, oh, I'm going to win the Royal Rumble. The Rumble community. And he goes to throw Truth out, and Truth reverses it and throws AJ out. And AJ's great at acting, sort of that outrage face that he does. But yeah, he won there. Then we got a weird segment where Randy Orton does the same promo that he opened last week's Raw with, and like the entire thing. And I was like, is this a different promo?
It was the same one, wasn't it?
It was the same one.
It was. They had a graphic that said last week. So we had a recap of Randy Orton watching recaps. We then cut to Alexa Bliss, who's watching the recap of Orton watching the recaps, and then she has some recaps of her own.
Yeah, so that's ridiculous enough in itself, and probably the headline ridiculousness, right? The thing that bugged me here was that Bliss was backstage in that sort of performance center backstage area. It's not performance center, but they've got a ring set up and a few LED screens. And Bliss was sitting there with her playset and the swings, and the canvas was done like AstroTurf, and they had her Alexa's Playground graphic on the big screens behind her. And I just thought, man, the Fiend wouldn't have done that, would he? Or Bray Wyatt's Firefly Funhouse, he wouldn't have gone to all of the production staff and helped them dress the ring and made sure the right graphics were uploaded to the computer so we could play it on the TVs behind them.
Wouldn't it have been way more interesting if she was doing all of this from the Funhouse?
Yes.
And like, the Funhouse no longer has Bray Wyatt in it. Like, what does the Funhouse without, like, how does Alexa Bliss interact with Rambling Rabbit and Sister Abigail when Bray's not there? Like, isn't that a way more interesting idea than just them a Bliss being in a generic sort of the generic interview area, but with a swing set?
So much potential there. Like, what would the voices be? Surely they wouldn't be Bray's voices. Would she have a Bray Wyatt doll that she did.
Yeah.
Would Nikki Cross be a puppet in it? Like, what other puppets from Alexa's own history could be in there? So much stuff, but they've gone the lazy supernatural mumbo jumbo undermining of just believability route instead. After that, we got the gauntlet match where Matt Riddle had to sort of defeat all the members of the Hurt Business apart from Lashley to get another shot at the US title that he'd already decisively lost.
Do you want a fun fact? You've got to go back to the 30th of November to have a match between Riddle and someone not in the Hurt Business.
Yep, so what happened here? Shelton's in first. Cedric tried to distract the referee to help Shelton, but actually ended up missing Riddle being visibly pinned. Great job for Riddle. Visibly tapped to Lashley and then got beaten by Lashley and then got beaten by Shelton too behind the referee's back. Terrible, terrible babyface booking. But Sheldon gets eliminated there. MVP's eliminated immediately because of some more chaos. And then the Cedric comes in, has a few minutes. It's really good. But then Cedric gets pinned.
Yeah. I really enjoyed sort of Riddle and Benjamin working together. Like, I thought that was really fun. And Riddle working with Cedric was really fun as well. But like the Sheamus thing, I've seen it, man. Like, that's eight solid weeks where they've essentially had like 10 matches of Riddle versus the Hurt Business. And this seems to be the Hurt Business curse, the curse business, where they feud with one person and just have matches with them every single week for a couple of months. And then the feud ends. And like, it was Ricochet, it was Apollo Crews, and now it's Matt Riddle. And I'm just like, I'm ready to move on to something else. And apparently, I'm not moving on to something else because this feud is continuing because Riddle's getting another shot against Lashley.
And what a way to build it. Lashley comes out and makes him, like, beats up Riddle again. So that's all terrible. Then we got the Edge promo. Then we got Asuka versus Bliss in the main event. Just because we didn't really touch on it in the opening, we did a bit. Bliss did have a really... I thought the first part was good because it was just a normal wrestling match. But then Bliss is suddenly on a rocking horse in the middle of the ring before commercial. And the commentators are just... this. I think this was the quote. Well, that's perplexing. You just saw a rocking horse materialize in front of your eyes. Why should I believe a single thing you say about wrestling now?
I mean, in their defense, it was perplexing.
It was.
Could you think of another word to use to describe a rocking horse materializing out of nowhere? It is perplexing.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of unwrites everything we know about how the reality works. I would say it's a bit of an undersell.
She changed costume last week. Like, she is perplexing.
Yes. Oh, you don't remember when they used to give everyone nicknames like the one, the perplexing Alexa Bliss. Perplexa Bliss.
That is how you can get around you not alerting your Alexa, your Amazon Echo, by Perplexa.
Anyway, there's a brief moment which I actually liked, despite it having all the same problems as everything else I've said. And that is Bliss's old music played. And all of a sudden, she's wearing her old ring gear, you know, her pre-fiend ring gear. And she's crying and she's scared, but she just walks to the opposite corner of the ring in a trance. Lights cut down, she comes up and it's emo Bliss. I that was really cool.
I think she's doing... So my reading of this is that she's doing it to sucker people in because this is what she did to Nikki Cross as well. Mm. And like, because you say that she walked across the other side of the ring, she dove out of the way of Asuka trying to attack her. And then she sort of walked. So she kind of did it to like sucker Asuka in so that she could then turn into Fiend Bliss so that she could then win the match, which she didn't because Randy Orton caused a DQ ? Because I mean, gave her an RKO and then the show ended. Yeah. And that was it. It's just like I'm kind of over the magic thing. I don't think Alexa and Fiend need to be magic characters.
Yeah.
And it's like, as I said, like in a couple of months' time, when you've got fans back in the building, whether that's right or wrong, that's, you know, that's a topic for another time. Then, like, and she doesn't do this, as a fan, I'd be like, why aren't you doing that thing anymore? Like, you've got the ability to change, to like literally change gimmicks, and you can like get a rocking horse out of nowhere to distract you. Why aren't you doing that anymore?
Yeah. So overall, I gave this the worst rating. I was 1 out of 4.
Yeah, it wasn't a great show. It's just boring. Like it's remarkable. It's the same Raw as last week, which was remarkably the same Raw as the week before, which again was the same Raw as the week before that. It's incredible that this company also does SmackDown. Someone messaged me about this today and was like, "Has Fox got creative control over SmackDown?" So I was like, "No, it's still one guy. It's still Vince." But for whatever reason, that show's great and this show isn't. It's actually quite, as I said in the start, they're an impressive company for nothing if that. And, you know, Twitter actually was in agreement, really. You know, 34.5% towards poor, 26.6% awful. But that 31.4% for good. And a few
300
people
think it's good. 300 people.
Dude, like, some people thought it was excellent. Like, not just good. It was excellent.
Honestly. Well, I'll tell you what is excellent. It's going to be this Sunday, the Royal Jamble Live Reactions, where very shortly I'm going to do the contract signing with Mr. Laurie Blake for our championship match. But that's not okay. The only thing on the Rumble stream. We also have the first ever Royal Jamble match. Play the trailer, producer Monkey Rich.
Oh, she's a beauty, isn't she? And she's mine. That map behind me, that's the world I'm gonna dominate. Because I'm the inaugural Jam That Champion. I'm the first ever successful defender of the Jam That Championship belt. I predicted a perfect card at TLC. So why do you think you can beat me?
Multi-time Quizlemania champion.
The predictions king.
I've won Quizlemania, I don't know, 4 times.
Just trying to find a nice way of rephrasing that I'm the draw.
The youngest person to ever win Quizlemania.
Pete, knock off me.
I'm Canadian.
I am a former Wrestle League winner.
I wear a mask.
Luke, also a knock off me.
My head is so huge.
Tempest, a knockoff me.
There's got to be something useful in there.
The only man who has dethroned Mr. Davis.
I'm a journalist.
Masks are in this year.
I wrote a book.
Andy wishes he was a knockoff me.
Hang on, I'll get it. Don't worry, I'll get it.
I've actually had a wrestling match.
Everybody knows how great the All Authority has been.
No, you can't watch it. No one can watch it.
And then you've got Adam, Annie Lennox, who talks about wrestling.
It's time for the new blood.
Corporate shopper, killing it.
Here's the book I wrote.
Harry Potter quiz champion.
I've never kidnapped anyone.
Corporate shopper gets his time.
I've had 3 separate shows all get cut by WrestleTalk.
I'm super trustworthy.
I want to get paid to watch the Royal Rumble, I guess.
And I have a dog.
For the Jam That Championship.
So come this Sunday at the Royal Jamble.
The Royal Jamble.
At the Royal Jamble.
It's my destiny to win the Royal Jamble.
Well, who else are you going to trust to put on the WrestleMania main event?
Can I get a yes, please?
And what's this? I spy behind me. Balls. That's right. Your fate will be decided by my balls.
And even if you've got that one, you haven't got a chance.
This Sunday, the 31st of January on WrestleTalk's Royal Rumble live reaction stream. 2 jambles. 60 numbers. 10 competitors, where the winning numbers get to fight for the championship at WrestleJamia. Subscribe to WrestleTalk for the Royal Jamble this Sunday.
Laurie.
We won't need to win the Rumble, because by then,
will already be the champion. And everything will be fated.
Right. Little recap there of what's going to happen. I'm Mr. Davis. Welcome back to the Raw Review stream, where just for a bit, just to get this out of the way, I'm joined by Laurie Blake, my challenger for this Sunday for the Jam That Championship belt. And see, you've got the contract.
I have, Mr. Davis. I'm just checking it for any shenanigans about ladders, technicalities you might try to catch me out on, rules you may bend to keep the championship, also making sure that my automatic rematch clause is in here. So even if I don't win, I can just challenge again and again until everything is fakeador. Also, another thing, nice of you to send me the contract in Spanish so I can read it, ut drag being Spanish for contract. So that's good. Thank you. Should we get this over with? I think everything is clear in this nice Spanish contract. It's quite a lot of it.
Yeah, so just
a lot of pictures of washing machines in this one as well.
Just to go over what we're doing. Overall, the overall predictions for this Sunday's Royal Rumble is between me and you for the championship, and I'm going to retain. But also, there's going to be two Royal Rumble matches, the Royal Jambles, which will decide who faces the championship come WrestleMania night one and two. WrestleJamia. No ladders, no stipulations. It's just a straight-up one-on-one match.
No wiggle room for you. Quick question by the contract. I was just supposed to circle the one that described me the best here, wasn't I?
Yep,
I've gone for unstable. Yep, good. Okay, cool.
So, let's just sign these, and then I'll see you tomorrow on the prediction stream. Same time.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, and we'll make our predictions, and then those predictions will count towards our scores at the Royal Rumble Live Reactions.
Yes, you've described the general process of what we normally do, but you've described it in a way that puts me on edge.
I've signed my contract.
Well, I do want the championship. Otherwise, everything can't be fakeador, which is like my whole thing. So I guess I'll do that. There we go. Signed.
Oh! It seems like you didn't read the Udstag contract properly, because if you just flick past the shelving units and the instructions for assembling the mechanism that lets them slide out really smoothly in the soft close, I think you'll find another little stipulation there. And that's a clause that bans Laurie Blake from attending the prediction stream tomorrow. How are you gonna get your predictions in if you can't be there, Laurie? I'm gonna retain again.
Oh, adios.
You can see the rest of my flat now. Get me on the right side. How about that tomfoolery?
You dastardly, dastardly human being. How villainous of you.
Watch out for the claws. The contract claws. I'm coming for you like a cat.
God, I hope I win the jamble. I hope I win the jamble.
Nah,
either one of them will be fine. I just want to point out as well, in that trailer that we did, this guy was the only one here that actually got praise by producer Rich when he put it together, because I did the best take out of everyone.
Whatever, mate. He's given praise to everyone.
I did have to do it twice because I didn't frame it correctly the first time around and it wasn't in focus, but I was the only one to hit all the marks. The only one to hit location, date, time. I was the only one to put over all those information. Everyone else had to do those twice because they missed all that.
Tomorrow we'll all be on it apart from Laurie because he's contractually banned. But at least we can do the Rumble predictions with my balls.
Oh, the Royal Jamble, a match of my own creation.
Right. So let's get into all of your hyper chats. Last call for them, wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them. TJ Deacon, I knew the Randy spot was happening with Playground Bliss still on the poster for the Rumble pre-match, but expected that last week. If they are wanting a Bliss win, she got to be number 30 with the gimmick changes rather than have Fiendish Bliss from the start.
I did see someone like predict that we could get like all three versions of Alexa Bliss in the Rumble, like including like Goddess Bliss and Playground and Fiend Bliss, which I think that should be quite interesting. You know, we haven't sort of had that for quite some time. So, yeah, I'd be quite for that, really.
Black Adam. So wrestling fans love the Fiend stuff and whatever the hell that was in the main event, but complained enough to where AEW made Matt Hardy drop his broken gimmick because it was too hokey. And Miss WrestleMania? Who has ever called her that?
WWE have, because she has got a pretty good like WrestleMania streak. I think that, I mean, I don't know if I'm not going to speak for everyone, but I think you and I have been on the same. We've probably had the same opinion of the Bliss stuff that we did for the Hardy stuff in AEW, which did not work for me at all.
Yeah, we're also down on the Fiend stuff. I think when anything becomes fully supernatural, it undermines the real stuff on your show. For WWE, it's kind of all undermined all the time anyway. But with AEW, it doesn't work from the offset. And they were smart enough to realize that.
Do you remember when people got like really defensive about it? Being like, no, it was just Vanguard 1 projecting him. And I was like, that still makes it rubbish. Like, it still doesn't make it make sense.
Michael Lava, imagine since fighting the Fiend, it brings you back to your character roots. Maybe Edge asks Lita instead of Beth. I don't think that's happening. You guys are amazing, and your show is the thing I look forward to the most since I got laid off. Thanks for what you do. I'm sorry to hear that, Michael.
Yeah, really sorry to hear that. But yeah, I think we got probably more chance of it being Beth Phoenix than it being Lita, I'm afraid.
Nate S. Hey, fellas, I'm back after a short hiatus. Good to watch live again. Unfortunately, it's a Raw stream. Seems like my plan of not watching Raw and letting you guys tell me how crap it is working out great, LOL. Hate that they are announcing number 30.
But they've done that like quite a few times, you know, of who the number 30 spot is going to be. Like people used to like have matches to be the number 30 entrant. Like I don't mind it. Like it doesn't bug me to any huge degree.
I think it's sometimes it's better. Because you don't have that pent-up expectation throughout the entire match. It takes the pressure off.
Rey Mysterio probably wouldn't have been booed if everyone knew it was going to be him coming out in 2015.
Brett J. Rasmussen, you know what is perplexing? That WWE has such a deep roster, but choose to have multiple wrestlers pull double, triple duty like Riddle, that horrible woman's match, and so on. But why am I not surprised? What a bad and boring episode of Raw. Love you guys.
Love you too, mate. But yeah, it was a pretty boring episode.
I just, to play devil's advocate and maybe give them an out, COVID, you know? Maybe that there is a reason that these rosters are limited.
I'm also going to go doubly on that. It's COVID and it's a 3-hour show. I think if Raw was 2 hours, it would not feel as repetitive. And you probably wouldn't need everyone to do like triple duty. Michael Dominguez says, putting these bad predictions out in the universe so Vince can't use all of them. Roman loses, enters the Royal Rumble and wins. Jinder wins the Royal Rumble. Miz wins and has 2 WrestleMania matches. Goldberg wins, Lesnar wins Royal Rumble and end streak at WrestleMania. Yeah, we didn't talk about them. Like, you know, Miz said that he is cashing in this Sunday. So there is still every chance that no matter what happens with Drew and Goldberg, it is still going to be the Miz holding the title at the end of the day.
Or maybe that's how Goldberg is protected in defeat. Miz accidentally cashes it in where he becomes a 3-way, Drew pins Miz.
Yeah, and then you can have Miz say that I didn't mean to cash it in, and that's how he gets the briefcase back.
A series of Chinese and Japanese characters. I think it's good WWE. Oh, no, you're doing these chats.
I did, yeah. I mean, I didn't want to just, you know, you're the boss here. I wasn't just going to be like, oi, stop it. I was, you know, I was just going to let you run with that. I think it's good WWE are going the UFC route by licensing to a bigger platform to get a casual audience. The $1 billion sounds impressive. When you break down their current revenue, 1.5 million subscribers at $10 a month, 180 million a year, 900 million over 5 years. Oh, dude, like the Peacock deal is such a win for WWE. Like it is a huge win. It's also a big win for Peacock. In a way, really, because what I mean, it is because like if you know, we've all been subscribed to the network now for how has it been, like 6-7 years? So like, and we've all been paying like $10 a month to do it. So in theory, what they're hoping for is that 80% of the network subscribers in the US are all just going to go over to Peacock, and you've just got them on a rolling subscription contract, just giving you $10 a month every single month until the end of time. So it's like a bit of a win, really. It's a win for both parties, but in particular, it's a win for WWE.
The maths doesn't work out for Peacock for them to monetize anywhere near that $1 billion route. But I think they're looking at it even longer term.
Chris Blass, hey guys, I'm making a bold prediction. Final six in the Rumble should be Styles, Keith Lee, Sheamus, Bryan, Nakamura, and Cesaro. They have 10 minutes of these guys showing why they are the best. It comes down to Nakamura versus Cesaro versus Bryan versus Keith Lee.
I would love that too. There's no chance of that happening, unfortunately.
They're really going ahead with like Cesaro and Nakamura and Bryan on the SmackDown side of things. So I can see them making it into like the final lot of the match. Benjamin John Milne says, if you could have anyone on the roster to win the Rumble and go on to have a big push, who would you want? Mine is Shelton Benjamin because he's the gold standard. Women's to be Ember Moon because she's Ember Moon.
I would say Keith Lee. I think Or Ricochet. I don't know. Like, they've had so many people who I thought were can't miss, and they've spectacularly missed.
Yeah, Keith Lee would be my pick as well. Amro, do you guys still think they're going to do the new Fiend? Wouldn't debut it at the Royal Rumble, right? Seems like kind of a waste. Also, remember when Luke said Jamble for the first time during one of the live streams, made me laugh so hard. I don't think it's a waste of the Rumble. Like, it's, you know, it's the second biggest show of the year. I think it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, good time to bring him back, if anything. My prediction, no new look.
I said that right from the get-go, and there'll be no different thing. Wilson Simons, SmackDown question. Do you think that Nakamura would be getting the Kofi Kingston treatment if there were live crowds?
Maybe. But Nakamura's already had that sort of go at the title, whereas Kofi never really had.
Lewis De Silva says, screw this human pro wrestling. It's all about kaiju pro wrestling with that epic Godzilla versus Kong trailer. OMG, this is life. Best creative booking. By the way, that's not Godzilla. I love the trailer. Dude, the trailer's so, so great.
Shame King of Monsters was garbage.
I'm going to rewatch it. I said to my wife, I was like, I really want to rewatch like all three movies in the lead up to Godzilla versus Kong. She was like, I've not seen King of Monsters, so I'll watch that with you, but I'm not watching the 2014 one with Aaron Taylor-Johnson. I'm not going through that again. She did not like that movie.
That one's amazing.
I know, that's what I said, but she didn't like it much. But she loves Kong Skull Island, and I cannot... Did you see that tweet that went like viral a couple of months ago where someone just did not understand the point of the movie? Because, you know, there's that bit where the guy who's like, he wants to like do his right for the country, and he makes the sacrifice to take out the Skull Digger, but then the guy, he just like swipes him and he lands into a mountain, blows him up. Someone on Twitter was just like, what a waste of a character. Like that guy, like that, what he made him look like an idiot. I'm like, yeah, that's the point. It's the point that the sacrifice was not worth it. Anyway, Michael Dominguez, my name is Ollie Davis. I'm a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that. This right here is Big Luke Owen. He's 7 foot tall and you can't teach that. Bada boom, realest guys in the room. How are you doing? Crikey, I haven't heard that in a while.
Mr. Davis, thank you very much. And no, I'm not with this jabroni.
Hello. Just me. Hello, Mr. Davis. I love watching your Raw reviews with my free case of Craft Beer 52. You're welcome for the promo. Where do I collect my paycheck? What are yours and Luke's predictions for surprises in the Rumble?
Well done on the Beer 52. Your payment is delicious craft beer. You've already got it. Predictions for surprises for the Rumble. Gilbert?
I think Gilbert's probably, yeah. I'm trying to think, like, who's been there recently? Like, I wasn't there for Legends Night. Like, Arquette? Oh my God, Arquette would be so amazing.
Austin Aries.
Who else was at Legends Night that could probably do a spot?
Alicia Fox?
Oh yeah, I mean, she's a legend.
Carlito.
Carlito's a really good shout, yeah. Kurt Angle? Yeah. CM Punk. Charles Berg, just wanted to see if you made my pancake recipe. It's okay if not. It's not like I was super excited to share it with you, and I'm anxiously awaiting feedback. Also, just wanted to give a silent prayer to Slapjack, the worst member of an unwanted comedy stable.
I didn't, because it contains buttermilk, and I don't have any buttermilk, and nowhere currently sells it in the UK that I can get my hands on. But I will try it eventually.
Chris Jenkins. Leroy Jenkins. Driving to work this morning, listening to my two favorite guys. Thank you so much for what you do. Love you guys. We love you, Chris. Excuse me. Just no yes. Ollie, why did you order Adam to screw Tempest? Why, Ollie? Are you afraid of him? Tempest that Tempest. Ollie screwed Tempest.
Tempest screwed Tempest. It's not my fault he's self-sabotaged. The guy needs to read up on ECW.
Right? Oh, my dude. I tuned in, but like, the two episodes ago. I was there going like, it's Raven. It's totally Raven. It's actually Raven.
It's so Tempest, Raven.
It's Raven. That's so Raven. It's Raven. Like, from the get-go, I was like, that's Raven. And it was painful to watch him go. And lastly, Mandy Savage. I thought my running joke of a baby being entrant number one was over when my water broke on Friday night in 2019. 36 hours of labor later, E-double-M-I-double-T entered the Royal Rumble of life. Happy birthday, Emmett. Please start saying mummy, not Amanda.
Happy birthday, Emmett.
Happy birthday indeed. That is all of our Hyper Chats for today. But you in the live chats will have seen that we have an excellent moderator team. Just some of the best people amongst the WrestleTalk team. Really, really lovely, wonderful human beings. And you're probably thinking to yourself, how could I be one of those awesome, lovely people? Well, you can, because we are looking for new moderators to join our ever-growing, wonderful team. If you're interested, if you fancy being a moderator for one of these live podcasts, then head on over to support@wrestletalk.com. Send us an email. Let us know. Apply to be a moderator today. Join Team WrestleTalk. We would love to have you on board.
Yes, do that. Join the mod army. Be full of modiclorians.
Oh,
we're a great bunch of people to work with.
So I actually listened to the SmackDown podcast that Pete and Andy do. And I know that they don't listen to our podcasts because they still think they're the most listened to podcast of the lot when they're not. The current best podcast is The Magazine Show, followed by AEW. So they think that they're still number one, and they're not.
This is purely audio tree. Audio?
Yeah.
Tree?
Oh, yeah.
Audio tree.
Yes, which is why I'm telling these people, because...
versions, yeah.
Very different story. Very, very different story. But this was an email that they got in that I have stolen from their podcast, so I can read it to you. Because they're doing a segment on their show that's called Embarrassing Crush Stories. Oh. So like when you had a crush on someone when you were a kid, and then you did something that you thought was going to be like really romantic, but then it's like, it doesn't work, right? And it's and you're embarrassed by the whole thing, yeah?
Oh, gone.
Okay, so this comes in from Ben. He says, hi, Randy and Chopper. Hope you boys are well. Here's an embarrassing crush story for you. So when I was 16 and at college, I'm now 37, I worked part-time in a supermarket on the frozen section. One of my colleagues, Tammy, was the most delightful, amazing girl I've ever met. She was gorgeous, loved my awful Datsun style of humor, and we were the best of work buddies. The problem was, she wasn't into guys and had a girlfriend. Mm. Me being young and naive, brackets, is that a valid excuse? I thought I could change that and convinced myself I could win her heart. After weeks of going out to the pub after work, it was obvious she was just never going to be interested. Me, not being one to give up easily, concocted a plan. One day, I deliberately started my shift early. I went to the stockroom freezer. I laid on the floor and placed loads of frozen veg and fish finger boxes all over me as if they'd fell on top of me and knocked me over. After 20 minutes of freezing my moobs off, in she came. You could see the look of concern on her face as she helped pull me up. To my excitement, I thought I was in with a chance. But no, she immediately got a box of frozen chips and off she went to fill up the chip section. Epic fail. To be fair, we've remained friends ever since and I've confessed to the ploy and we had a good giggle over it. Cheers, lads. Keep up the great work. Stay safe, everyone. Ben Ashmore from Sheffield.
What a passive way of trying to impress a woman.
I know, it proper made me laugh because it's not like, I know how I'll make her not a lesbian. I'll fall over and then she's bound to fall in love with me and go straight.
I'll fake an accident and cover myself with frozen produce. It's not really the most romantic. You see, this is the problem. Hollywood, and I was there with you. I used to attempt stupid, overly romantic stuff that I'd learned from the movies all the time when I was a teenager. But no, that's not how it goes.
Yeah.
And it comes off creepy.
Yeah, and you know what? I have a lot of sympathy for Ben as well. He's 37. He's a couple of years older than me, which means he would have probably thought, hey, Chasing Amy's told me that a lesbian, it's a short-term thing. I can probably, this will probably work.
Yeah.
Apparently it didn't. Yeah.
Sorry, Ben.
Sorry, Ben. Also,
memories that makes you wake up in the middle of the night as well. Or you're having a nice time and then there it is. The Facebook feed of your mind just serves you this old memory. Now you're going to have a
Dude, I've got one of those stories that happened to me when I was about 10, 11. I mean, I've told the story on WrestleTalk After Dark when I went to the cool American kid's house and he invited me over to like to sleep over and end up peeing my pants. And it is a story that every now and again I just think of. I'll be driving in my car, like absolutely nothing, like, well, maybe, and I'll be like, oh yeah, that thing happened to me, didn't it? It was like 25 years ago. Actually, but even more than that, it was probably like, you know, 27 years ago at this point. Every now and again, I'll be like, yeah, that happened to me though, didn't it? Also, this last thing comes in from Reese, who says, hope you're all well. Just want to say I was really happy to hear Luke and Ollie talk about Blood on the Clock Tower on the AEW review. One of my last journeys prior to lockdown involved me being taken to an event and playing it for several hours. And then during lockdown, weekly games in the London Discord server. Would highly recommend joining if you're interested. Glad you all had fun. Hope you keep playing. That's from Reese.
Oh, yeah. It's such a good game. Can't wait for that to come out on No Rolls Barred.
Do you like board games? Anyway, that is all we've got time for on this edition of the WrestleTalk podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. You're all tremendous people. We'll be back on Thursday with the AEW review. Then it's me and Denise on Friday with the magazine show. And Pete and Andy will be back with their not popular show. Thank you all so much for listening. Take care. I love you.
We've got a few more bits, like the Royal Rumble predictions tomorrow.
Do you know what? I know this was the go-home edition of Raw, but it did not feel like it was the go-home edition for the Royal Rumble. So it has made me forget that, yes, the predictions for the Royal Rumble will be out tomorrow. And then we've got the Royal Rumble review next Monday. So it's actually a busy old time to be on the podcast. Take care, everyone. I love you. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.